Airbus is singing Sweet Home Alabama. America, meet Orion, our ticket to deep space. And Congress shuns the Alexander Amendment. This is Aero News for Tuesday, July 3rd, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. In what it billed as a major strategic announcement on Monday, which was maybe one of the worst-kept secrets in aviation last month, Airbus said it will establish a manufacturing facility in the United States to assemble and deliver A320 family aircraft. Located at the Brookley Aeroplex in Mobile, Alabama, it will be the company's first U.S.-based production facility. Airbus stressed that the assembly line, which will create jobs and strengthen the aerospace industry, is part of its strategy to enhance Airbus's global competitiveness by meeting the growing needs of its customers in the United States and elsewhere. The facility in Alabama will assemble the industry-leading family of A319, A320, and A321 aircraft. The company said construction of the assembly line will begin in the summer of 2013. Aircraft assembly is planned to start in 2015, with first deliveries from the Mobile facility beginning in 2016. Airbus anticipates the facility will produce between 40 and 50 aircraft per year by 2018. Airbus already has a strong and growing presence in Alabama and throughout the United States. In Alabama, the company operates an engineering center in Mobile, also located at Brookley Aeroplex, and employing more than 200 engineers and support staff, as well as an Airbus military customer services operation supporting U.S. Coast Guard aircraft. In addition, Airbus operates an engineering center in Wichita, Kansas, an aircraft spares center in Ashburn, Virginia, a training center in Miami, Florida, and a regulatory and government liaison office in Washington, D.C. The company said that the new Mobile assembly line, together with associated functions, should create as many as 1,000 new high-skilled jobs. The first space-bound Orion capsule has arrived at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida, where technicians will turn it into a fully functioning spacecraft ahead of a test flight slated for 2014. The uncrewed flight, called Exploration Flight Test 1, or EFT-1, will be loaded with a wide variety of instruments to evaluate how the spacecraft behaves during launch, in space, and through re-entry. In 2014, a Delta IV heavy rocket from United Launch Alliance will lift the spacecraft into orbit. Its second stage will remain attached to the capsule and will be fired to raise the Orion's orbit to 3,600 miles. That's about 15 times higher than the International Space Station. The mission will last only a few hours, long enough to make two orbits before being sent plunging back into the atmosphere to test it at deep space re-entry speeds. Designed with astronauts in mind, Orion will take crews from Earth orbit for the first time since 1972, when Apollo 17 completed the last moon landing. The Space Launch System, or SLS, a gigantic rocket akin to the Saturn V that launched the Apollo spacecraft, is being developed to launch future Orion missions into deep space. The first launch of the SLS with Orion atop is scheduled for 2017. The Highway Transportation Bill conference report cleared both chambers of Congress by wide margins late last Friday and went to President Obama's desk for signature. The bill authorizes the funding of federal highway projects through the end of September 2014. But what was not included in the final version of the highway bill was the so-called Alexander Amendment, which had been offered by Senator Lamar Alexander, Republican of Tennessee, which would have allowed the National Park Service to exercise control of some airspace over the Grand Canyon. The amendment was offered at the urging of environmental groups who said helicopters make too much noise in sensitive natural areas. The amendment had been stringently opposed by the Helicopter Association International, which was obviously pleased with the result, and with good reason. USA Today reports that the National Park Service was ready with regulations for the Grand Canyon, which would have required, quote, no audible aircraft, end quote, in 67% of the park anywhere from 75 to 100% of the day. The bill does require ongoing monitoring of noise from air tours in the park and will also require helicopters flying tours in the park to be converted to quiet technology within 15 years. Tour operators will be offered incentives to make the conversion, which will include the opportunity to make more flights. Well, Mother Earth must have seemed like Grand Central Station this weekend. Those three Chinese astronauts landed safely, as we reported yesterday. Also returning to terra firma this weekend was a three-man crew from the International Space Station. Russian Commander Oleg Kononenko, NASA Flight Engineer Don Pettit, and European Space Agency Flight Engineer Andrei Kuipers landed their Soyuz spacecraft in Kazakhstan. The trio, which arrived at the station on December 23, 2011, spent a total of 193 days in space, 191 of which were aboard the station. During their expedition, the crew supported more than 200 scientific investigations involving more than 400 researchers around the world. The dispute over a helicopter tour operation, which opened over the Memorial Day weekend in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is likely headed to court, as residents living near the helipad say their home values have suffered as a result of the operation. Plantation Point homeowner Rick Hine said in a letter to the City Zoning Board of Appeals that, quote, "we basically now have an airport in our backyard," end quote, according to a report in the Myrtle Beach Herald. The county zoning administrator allowed Helicopter Adventures to open after he said that they had obtained all of the necessary permits for the construction of a helipad near the neighborhood. But the reaction of the neighbors was almost immediate after the first flights were conducted in late May. Many of the homes in Plantation Point had been valued in excess of $500,000, but the homeowners say they couldn't get anywhere near that amount with the constant noise from the helicopter tours. The next meeting of the ZBA is not until August. The board could rule either way, but Janet Carter, the county planning director, told the paper, no matter which way the decision goes, the losing side is expected to proceed to circuit court. Helicopter Adventures owner Freddie Rick said they have tried to be good neighbors, adjusting their flight paths and offering to meet with the neighbors. Rick said two meetings had been arranged, but the homeowners' representatives chose not to show up. When Aero News continues, Delta pilots ink a new contract. Boeing is set to begin manufacturing research in Japan. And the Colorado wildfires claim another victim of sorts.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, July 3rd. I'm Glenn Moyer. The pilots of Delta Airlines, represented by the Airline Pilots Association International, have ratified an amended collective bargaining agreement, the union announced this past Friday. The agreement, reached over 7 months ahead of the December 31st, 2012 amendable date, was approved by the union's governing body, the Delta Master Executive Council, in May, and sent to the Delta pilots for membership ratification earlier this month. 10,170 of the 10,864 eligible Delta pilots voted, and of those, 62% voted in favor of the new agreement. The CBA will become effective July 1st and run through December 31st, 2015. As part of the agreement, pilots will receive a 4% pay increase effective July 1st, but the Associated Press reports that the deal also will mean a shift in the way Delta uses its smaller regional jets. The airline is planning to phase out its 50-seat jets in favor of larger airplanes, and the contract signed Friday will allow that shift to happen more rapidly. The agreement caps the number of 50-seat RJs at 125, down from the current number 343. It also will allow the airline to lease 88 Boeing 717 aircraft, formerly flown by AirTran from Southwest Airlines. Boeing and its three major Japanese airframe partners, Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, Kawasaki Heavy Industries, and Fuji Heavy Industries, announced that they've signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the Institute of Industrial Science at the University of Tokyo. Under the MOU, the parties will commence joint research and work to create a consortium to develop industrial-scale manufacturing technology and processes in a new model of academic industry cooperation. Efforts initially will focus on the development of machining and drilling process technology for titanium, aluminum, and composite materials, while Boeing, MHI, KHI, and FHI will comprise the initial industrial membership. The intent is to encourage participation from a broad spectrum of manufacturing sectors. The continuing threat of wildfires in the western portion of the United States has prompted Garfield County, Colorado officials to institute a ban on pyrotechnics at its upcoming air show July 13th and 14th. Airport Director Brian Condy said in a statement that, quote, in light of the Stage 2 fire restrictions implemented June 22nd, airport staff members have changed our featured events to preserve the safety and well-being of our community, end quote. The Aspen Times reports that Condy said the move was in keeping with the fire bans in place from other state and federal agencies, but that doesn't mean there won't be plenty to see during the show. Organizers also said they have added the Aeroshell aerobatic team to the lineup, which will be the first time the T-6 team has flown a show in the state of Colorado. You know, most all of us at some point in time have been scared by something or another going bump in the night, but boom in the day and in the sky? Well, reports of an unusual rumbling in the sky along the California coast last Friday had scientists stumped. Some described it as a sound like a door slamming. Others said it rattled their windows. Well, it turns out the culprit was some U.S. Marine aircraft on routine training exercises about 50 miles off the coast of San Diego. Normally, their sonic skyquakes are never heard, but occasionally when the winds reach speeds of about 100 miles per hour, the sound can and was carried to the coast. It was Robert Frost who wrote that fog creeps in on little cat feet. I guess sonic skyquakes riding the winds just doesn't make good poetry. Still, we hope you enjoyed this reading of Aero News. Thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.